In the announcements, we do have visitors with us today. We have several who are visiting here, and we want to let you know that we are glad that you are with us this morning. We do want to invite you to come back and be with us at each and every opportunity that you might have to do so. If you have questions concerning something that you observe, whether it be in the way that we worship God or something that is presented in that which we teach, feel free to speak with me or one of the other men of the congregation following the services, and we will strive to give you an answer according to the Word of God as to why we do what we do. We assemble together in order to worship God, as we pointed out in our sermon last Sunday morning, and a realization that we must continue to keep in mind as we think about that is we are not striving to please man in the efforts that we put forth. Our goal is to worship God according to the pattern that He has prescribed for us, realizing that He is the one to whom we will give an account one day, and He is the one that we are striving to please. And we keep that in mind in all that we do. Also, as was mentioned in the announcement, our gospel meeting is rapidly approaching. As a matter of fact, it begins just 3 weeks from today, so certainly now is the time to begin making preparations for that particular event. It is my plans to have all of the announcements made available by next Sunday for you to pass out to your friends and such, and so you may invite your friends and neighbors. And as I have been doing for the past several weeks, on the back of our bulletin, you have there a list of topics that are going to be presented during that particular effort. In addition to that, there is information concerning the gospel meeting at our website, which is roseavenue.org. That is also mentioned on the back of there, so you can direct those of your friends who have computers to the website where they can gain more information about the topics that are going to be presented, and hopefully we will be posting the lessons in a rather expedient time frame from that particular work at that time. But let's be praying for the success of that particular lesson. Now on to the lesson at hand. This morning I would like to begin a brief study of the subject, answering the question, how should I use my tongue? Now, in presenting this particular study here, someone might say, didn't you preach on the tongue last year? And the answer is yes. As a matter of fact, I presented approximately 10 sermons dealing with sins of the tongue. But I also noted that at the conclusion of that study that I wanted to take a little bit of time to deal with the subject of how should we properly use our tongues. We seem to become passionate and emphasize the wrong ways in which to use our tongues. And as you look at the Word of God, you'll find that there is a great deal that is said about the sins of the tongue as they are referred to. As a matter of fact, if you turn over to James chapter 3 and you read about the tongue as it is mentioned in that text, much of what it says is a warning. It is a warning against misusing your tongue. But at the same time, we need to realize that the tongue was given to us by God. Our ability to speak, our ability to communicate is a blessing from God. And we ought to take some time to notice the way that we ought to be using our tongue. And by tongue, I'm not talking about the physical member that is in our mouth with which we taste, but I'm talking about the things that we say. That is the way that the word is frequently used within scriptures. So what I want to begin today is a brief study. It is not going to be 10 weeks. At this time, my plan is for 3 weeks of this particular study. Today I want to talk about a little bit, looking at what the Word of God actually says about the proper use of the tongue. Some texts that look toward us using the word or the tongue properly. And then next Sunday I want to talk about how we should use the tongue in a positive way. That is dealing with praising God, teaching others, the way that we are to encourage one another. And the following week, Lord willing, I intend to address the negative use of the tongue properly.
We can never use our tongue properly, but also there are times that we need to rebuke individuals or we need to reprove them. We need to expose false doctrine. Sometimes when we're doing those things, that is using the tongue properly. But yet, it doesn't always mean that the words are going to be positive in the way that they are presented. And so we want to look at that in that particular lesson. I want to begin by noticing what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and in verse number 37. So turn to that text if you will. Matthew chapter 12 or Mark chapter 12 and verse number 37, excuse me. Mark chapter 12 and in verse number 37. Now we read in that particular verse there that Jesus says that, okay, that's not the proper one, Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and in verse number 37. Jesus there says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, again, we emphasize that how you have to be careful what you say, lest you be condemned. But what I want you to also notice in this text, that Jesus says, "By your words you will be justified." That ought to be our goal in the conversations that we become engaged in. Our goal ought to be to do those things which are pleasing to God. Use our tongues to look forward to God being pleased with our lives. And with that, I want us to begin by noticing, what does the Bible actually say about using our tongues properly? And the first thing that I want us to realize is the fact that the tongue is not a curse. Nor is it a necessary evil, if you will. God gave us the tongue for good purposes. It is good, and it was given to us by God to be used for good purposes. Our ability to use our tongues to communicate sets us apart from the rest of God's creation upon this earth. We have the ability to communicate above and beyond that of any other creature that exists upon this earth. We can communicate exclusively. We can communicate in great detail, and we can explain things with one another. We can discuss our differences. There are many things that we can do with the tongue, and it's one of the things that sets us apart from the rest of creation. So truly, the tongue was given to us as a blessing. After all, realize that as you consider the tongue, it is by the Word of God that the world was created. As you look at Genesis chapter 1, over and over and over, what you read there is it says, "And God said." It is first mentioned in verse number 3. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." It was through God speaking that this world came into existence. And everything about the creation of the world took place because God said it. But there's also something else interesting that you find throughout Genesis chapter 1. Another phrase that is used frequently in that text is after it talks about what God said to be created, it says, "And it was so." God spoke and it happened. So in that expression alone, you see the goodness of the use of the tongue. And not only did God create the world by speaking, it is held. It continues to be sustained by the Word of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. In this particular text, what we have here is Peter talks about some who were mocking the fact that the Lord had not yet returned. "Where is the promise of His coming?" they say, and other such things. And he points out this, and he points out in verse number 5, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water." Now you look at verse number 5 there, it says they forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. That talks about creation. By the word of God, the world was made into existence. Now notice verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Just as God spoke the world into existence, it is by the word of God that the world is sustained. And as long as this world is going to be in existence, it's going to be because of the word of God. So we see in that words are a good thing. The tongue is actually a blessing from God. It is when we abuse that, it is when we misuse the tongue, that it becomes a curse. But that is not what God intended. And God did not intend for us to be quiet all the time. God intends for us to speak. And that's the point that I want us to get in this. There are things He wants us to say. He wants us to communicate. In fact, we need to communicate in order to be pleasing to God. Let's consider some verses. Matthew 12 and in verse number 34. Matthew 12 and in verse number 34 in the same context that we just began with in verse 37 a few moments ago. You read there where Jesus in verse 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now Jesus points out there in verse number 34 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. And then He says there in verse 35 that a good man is going to bring good things out of his mouth. That is exactly what Jesus says there. And that's what it's supposed to be. And that's what leads to verse number 37 where He says, by your words you will be justified or you will be condemned. We need to be justified by our words. In the Psalms and in the Proverbs, you read continual references to the tongue. You read continual references to our conversations and the words that we use. And I want to take just a few moments to notice a few of the statements that you find in the Psalms and the Proverbs which describe the goodness of the tongue. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, the 19th Psalm, the 14th verse, David there says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. The prayer of David on this occasion is, may my words be acceptable to you. David acknowledged the importance of words. In Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31, you read there, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Notice there that the righteous man, he does speak up. And he uses wisdom in that which he says. Good things. And he talks justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of God is what rules that which he says. And that's the important thing to remember about properly using your tongue. It is guided by the law of God. And it is because God's law is in your heart that it takes place. In Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse number 26, Solomon says, the words of the pure are pleasant. In Proverbs 25 and in verse number 11, along with this, Proverbs 25 and in verse number 11. Give you a minute to get there. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Precious jewelry. That which is valuable. Solomon notes that a word that is spoken fitly or in its proper context is valuable. It is useful. It is something that is to be cherished. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, beginning to bring this letter to a conclusion, he says in verse 11, "The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." Now, when I saw that word goads there, what came to my mind was a gourd, but that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is a prod. A prod that would be used to move an animal along, or as a shepherd would use this goad to move his sheep in the right place. And what he is saying here is the words of the wise will move you to where you need to be. That's the idea. They will provoke you. They will prod you to go where you ought to go. And not only that, he says the words of scholars are like well-driven nails. That's something a carpenter understands. How important is it that a nail be properly placed if you are to hold a piece of furniture together? It has to be driven in the right place or it's going to be useless. Have you ever tried to drive a nail into a stud and miss the stud? And the nail is sitting behind the piece of wood, but if you get a chance to look at the back and you start running your hand along that piece of wood and you find the nail that missed the stud, it's going to let you know you missed. It's going to hurt. It's going to be useless. That's what it means by a well-driven nail. Properly used words are like a well-driven nail. Now let's go to the New Testament for a few moments. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 12. Here we find Paul is giving instructions to Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Now how do you do that? By being an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. He begins this list of all the things that Paul talks about. He begins by saying, be an example to them in word. You have words that will not provoke others to despise you. Use good words. Use words properly. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 29. Paul there says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't let corrupt words come out, but rather instead let good words come out. Words that will edify or build up, and that will impart grace or peace to the hearers. We're going to talk about those words in our lesson next week. In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 6, a very important verse. Paul there says to the brethren, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. That says not only is it important that you say only good things, say proper things, but you be careful how you say them. Not only what you say, but the way you say it is equally important. That's what it talks about when it says, let them be seasoned with salt. And of course, Colossians 3 verse 17, where Paul there says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Ask yourself as you speak, is God pleased with what I am saying? Is there anything that I am about to say that will discredit God, that will dishonor my Lord? Now we have to guard against that because the tongue is a very dangerous thing. It can get us into all kinds of trouble, but it can be and ought to be used for good. That's why you'll find in scriptures again, there are multitudes of blessings associated with the proper use of the tongue. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 10, 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 10, Peter there says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. If someone wants to have long days, long life, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil. Now, what exactly does that mean? Understand this, that properly used words can save your life. Properly used words can promote good that will extend your life. That's an important thing to think about. You realize that with words, wars have been started? And with other words, wars have been prevented. It's possible for words to actually save someone's life. Think about what a doctor tells you to do. That can save your life. Think about what a preacher tells you about your spiritual life. Words can save your life. And they can also prolong or extend a life in various different ways. And one thing that I think about physically is how stress kills people. And often stress is brought on by bad words. It's brought on by animosity, and it's brought on by hateful speech. When we speak what we ought to speak, it can extend the life. I kind of think that that's what Peter has in mind, even though ultimately he's talking about spiritually having a hope in heaven. Refrain your tongue from evil, he says there. In addition to that, in the book of Proverbs, again, you have a number of different Proverbs that talk about this. In Proverbs 21 and 23, it says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Let me just mention these other Proverbs and you can look them up later. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 16 and verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let us emphasize the fact that that verse says that life is in the power of the tongue. We sometimes emphasize the death. What's bad about the tongue? Life is in the power of the tongue as well. So let's keep that in mind. One of the blessings of the tongue is it can make your life better. It can extend your life, if you will. The tongue can build friendships. One of the key elements of a strong friendship is communication. That's what most friendships are built upon, is the ability to communicate with one another. And again, you go to the book of Proverbs, you'll find that there are numerous Proverbs that talk about the blessings of friends. You'll find in Proverbs 18 and verse 24, New King James Version says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And I realize the New American Standard reads differently, saying, "A man of too many friends comes to ruin." And both of those are true statements. But then the latter part of that verse is virtually the same. And it's what I want to mention here. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do we have friends that are closer than other friends to us? Hopefully each and every one of us, because of our disposition, have garnered many friends in our lives. But I'll tell you right now, you're going to have this choice group of friends who ought to be closer to you than anyone else. They are the ones that you can go to with anything. No matter what your problem is, you can pour your soul out to this person without fear of it being spread all over the place. With knowing that he or she is going to be concerned about you and is going to do everything he can to help you with whatever you are facing. That's your closest of friends. Hopefully your spouse is one of those very, very close friends. One who sticks closer than a brother, if you will. Solomon talks about that. Solomon talks about a friend loves at all times in Proverbs 17. In Proverbs 27, he talks about how the wounds of a friend are faithful. He's going to tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends." A friend is going to make you better. When He tells you what you need to hear, it's with the goal of making you a better person because He's concerned about you. That's using your words properly. Using our words properly can build strong and lasting friendships. In addition to that, it's a reflection of your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 calls for us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We've already mentioned Matthew 12 and verse number 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'll tell you right now that simply because someone uses good words does not always mean that that is an honorable person. But I'll tell you right this, it's a good indicator. It's a fairly good place to start in determining the type of character an individual has. And I'll tell you why. Because if out of one's mouth you find cursings, and you find all the evil things, and you find lies, and you find gossips, of conclusion, you know that person is not a good person. So I'll tell you right now, what you say is certainly important. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you say reveals who you are. Is good proceeding out of your mouth? That's the point. Words often reflect character. But another blessing of the tongue is the fact that with the tongue we praise God, and that's one of the things I want to talk about next week. We praise God with our tongue. And as we praise and glorify God the way that we ought to, that's going to bring blessings upon our own life from God. Because when we are pleasing to God, God is going to be there for us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, there the Hebrew writer talks about the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And then in verse 16 he says, But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now remember in verse 15, he calls the fruit of our lips a sacrifice. God is well pleased with good words, praising and glorifying Him. Another blessing of the tongue shows that it demonstrates self-control. It shows that you have control in your life. In James chapter 3 and in verse number 2, James there says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." James points out there that if you can learn to control your tongue, you can learn to control everything about your life. If that's not an incentive to strive for only using good and proper words, I don't know what is. You want to live a life under control? Learn to control your tongue. That's where it starts. You read in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 29. Ephesians 4 and in verse number 29 you read there. Again, Paul talking about the tongue, he says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." We read that a few moments ago. Let good come out of your mouth. Now, if you go to the verses prior to that, you will notice in verse 26, Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin." He's talking about controlling your anger there. And when you're bringing good things out of your mouth, no corrupt words, you are controlling your anger. You are showing that you are in control of your body. That's why James said in James 1 and verse 19, "Let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." And I'll tell you right now, that's the order. That's the order. If you take time to hear, and you're careful what you say, you are not going to become angry in a way that you should not become angry. You're controlling your anger. Slow to anger. That's the point. We want to control life. Learn to control your tongue. Bring the good out of your tongue. Now that might lead one to ask, what can I do to promote the proper use of my language? Number one, pray about it. Pray to God about it. We've already noted a psalm or two where David prays to God for help with his mouth. Another interesting psalm is Psalm 141 and in verse number 3. Psalm 141 and in verse number 3, this is what David says to God at the beginning of that psalm. He says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." David knew he needed to control his mouth, his tongue. And he asked God to help him to do that. And you find that frequently in the Psalms of David. Learn from David how to pray to God. Learn from David what to pray for. You find in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally." God will give us those things that are good. Controlling the tongue requires wisdom. Ask God for wisdom in saying that which needs to be said and not saying that which should not be said. In Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Paul there says that we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, Paul is asking for the brethren to pray for him there so that he would know what to say as he preached the gospel. But understand, he says, pray to God so that I'll say what I need to say. So that I with boldness will speak the way that I ought to be speaking. Pray to God for help in controlling your tongue. In saying only those things that you ought to be saying. And of course we need to realize that we need to learn to be slow to speak. In the multitude of words we're told in the Proverbs, sin is not lacking. In Proverbs 17 and in verse 27, Solomon said, "He who restrains his word has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." And then in verse 28, and I like what this verse says, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent." Sometimes the best thing to say and the right thing to say is nothing. That's controlling your tongue, and that's using your tongue properly. Weigh your words. Weigh your words. Realize this fact. We live in a communication-driven society. This is the age of communication. And I want you to understand this. Words mean things. When you say something, a meaning is attached to that. And what that tells me is you better know what you're saying. How often do we hear people use words that they don't know the meaning of it? And in so doing, they misrepresent a statement. Somebody perceives them to be saying something that they are really not saying. We need to weigh our words and choose our words carefully. Know what we're saying when we say it. Because words mean things. And weigh not only exactly what you say, but weigh how you say it. Give consideration to that fact. Use good words. Good words versus all the evil words that we read in Scriptures. You read about wholesome words in Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 4 where Solomon says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." And you read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse number 3 where Paul talks about the wholesome words to Timothy that people ought to be speaking and what some are not speaking. That word wholesome is a word that means healthy. That's exactly what it means. Matter of fact, most of the times, that's the way that word is translated. It's something that is healthy for the bones. Something that is good. That's what the word wholesome means. Use wholesome and good words. Strive to find wholesome and good words as you speak. And control what you say. Use your words in a timely fashion. And again, there are multitudes of Proverbs that talk about this. Proverbs 15 and verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. But the mouth of fools pours forth evil. The righteous man, he studies how to give an answer. His answer is controlled and it is well thought of and it is timely. That's what makes it precious. That's what makes it like apples of gold surrounded by silver. And finally, remember kindness. We're going to talk more about that next week. We're going to talk more about kind words. It's interesting in Proverbs 31 and verse 26 that the virtuous woman was guided by the law of kindness. The law of kindness was in her heart. We need to be of a gentle spirit in dealing with others. And that comes across usually in the way we use our words. Solomon said in Proverbs 16 and in verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. We need to make sure that our words are governed with kindness. Now understand when I say that, that does not mean that there is not going to be a time when we use harsh words or don't use harsh words. Sometimes harsh words are the right words. Sometimes we need to rebuke somebody because what they are doing is wrong. When you shout at a child who is about to put his hand on the hot stove, he may be upset at the tone that you are using. It may be harsh as far as the tone, but it's the right thing to say and it's said properly. Sometimes that's the case. However, remember this. A rebuke and a harsh message is no excuse for being hateful with your conversation. Remember kindness in your words. And those are some rules that can help us in properly using our tongue. And thus I ask, are you using your words for good? Are you using your words in a way that God is pleased with what you are doing? Will your words justify you when you stand before God? The lesson is yours. This morning I've been talking primarily to the way that one of the things that is involved in being a Christian. But before that is to have any meaning to you whatsoever, you first have to become a child of God. Perhaps you have never named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is the case, we want to invite you to become a Christian this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you are willing to repent of having lived a sinful life, and if you will confess Him as the Son of God, and if you will be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can become a Christian this very hour. Jesus taught Himself in Mark 16 and in verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21, baptism now saves us. It is the act of baptism that washes your sins away. It is the act of baptism that puts you into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and in verse number 27. And until you are buried in a watery grave, you are still in your sins. But you can have your sins washed away even this day, if you're willing to give your life over to God and do what He tells you to do. But that means giving your life to God. It's not a one-time event. It is a way of life. And if you have left God, you need to come back to God. The Scriptures teach that you need to repent of having lived a rebellious life, of having left Him. And you need to confess your sins to God and go to Him in prayer asking for His forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Perhaps as a part of your repentance, you need to make public acknowledgement for your sins. If that be the case, we give you that opportunity now. Or perhaps you just simply need our prayers. We're here for you. So whatever your need is, if there's any way at all that you are subject to the invitation, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.